The best relationships are built on learnable skills. The question becomes, are you willing to learn? Join John and Sungshin Lopnow as they converse with leaders at the intersection of brain science and spiritual formation, with practical ways of staying connected to the presence of God and to one another. We hope that the Presence and Practice podcast serves you and other leaders around the world with tangible ways to increase love in every interaction. And now, to tell you more about today's episode, here's John and Sungshin.
Hello, friends. I'm here with my good friend and mentor in many ways, Chris Corsi. He is the president of Thrive Today. But really, he's just a man who loves God and his wife and his kids and people. And I think that's what you want for people.
Right? You know, it is. You said it well, John. I mean, that's really just for people to enjoy the gifts, enjoy the good stuff, and amplify the good stuff and share the good stuff. Like, that's really what my passion is, man, at the end of the day, just to see people enjoy God's gifts, God's presence, and just share the good stuff in life.
That's why we're friends. I mean, this, like, that's why we connect, because our vision is like heading in the same direction and with different strengths and teams. Like, you have a little team over there, you and Jen, and me and Sungshin. And so we can relate on so many levels and just want to bring and share things that we've learned and cultivated. And I have you here today because you have a book coming out in a couple of days. It's January 2nd. 2021, in 3 days, on January 5th, this book comes out, The Joy Switch, How Your Brain's Secret Circuit Affects Your Relationships and how you can cultivate it. I'm really excited about it. I've read it and really looking forward to just allowing people to be invited to get the book, because the book will invite you into ways of understanding and practices. So, and our ministry is called Presence and Practice. So, and this is like a core instrument that I think can invite people into the presence of God and each other and practices. So, Chris, what motivated you to write this specific book?
Yeah, well, you know, John, honestly, the desire to make a very practical resource that people could kind of get their feet in the water, because Jen and I run a ministry that focuses on relational skills. And sometimes when I say relational skills, people are like, what? Like, what are relational skills? And really the core of relational skills are just helping people to stay relational. Yes. So that they hold on to joy, and that's part of what spreads. So I wanted a book that was practical, that was just easy to read, that also had practices, because really you've got to like taste this, right? You've got to practice it, both yourself, with other people, with God. So the book really came out of that desire just to have an easy resource people can fit in their back pocket. So I get a lot of people telling me, these books are too thick. It needs to fit in your back pocket. And then I will read a book that fits in my back pocket. So
Look, it's very, very doable and readable. I'm holding it up to the people who can see on the yeah, it's like 150 pages or so in small pages, very doable and readable. And you talk about, there was three things you hope for the people who read the book. The first one was you want to make sure, you want to instill in people that there's a relational mode, there's a relational circuit, and you can turn it on. Well, that's probably two, right? Those are one and two.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is just learning they have a relational circuit that's always impacting your life, whether you realize it or not. It shows up or disappears in your interactions. And really, when people learn about this relational circuit, they have a language for it, but they also have a lot of aha moments, John, because it's like, oh, well, that's why when I was interacting with my wife, you know, something changed and we were no longer glad to be together. You know, and it happens so quickly. So I wanted people to have that language as well as know what to do with it.
And I remember learning from you and Jim Wilder about the relational circuit, the RC on and off. And I thought, and so this is a little provocative, so tell me if you think it's true or not. That's what I want to dialogue with you.
Yeah.
Whenever our RCs are off, if we're in, I don't know what the boundaries are, but I'll just say it and we can nuance it later. All right. if we live with our RCs off, we're living out of alignment, missing the mark. You know, I'm kind of saying basically like the way we can live in the way God designed us is with our RCs on. But if we're living with them, if we're acting with them on the RCs off, are we living in sin?
That's a great question. The way I put it often with people is I'm in my most vulnerable state when my relational circuits are off, which means sin is very close to me when my relational circuits go down, because having my relational circuit staying on, I can resist temptations better, right? Because I'm staying connected with Emmanuel and I'm quieting myself and I can use my frontal lobes to help me find another way of going. Whereas when those relational circuits are off, you lose your brain's filter. It's like a car whose brakes are no longer working. And so you're definitely not being a good version of who God created you to be when those relational circuits are off. And the longer they're off, the more vulnerable I am to sin and just anything that basically would lead me down unwanted roads. So that's when my cravings get really big and loud when the relational circuit goes off. Vulnerable. It's not a place you want to visit for very long.
Right. And when I say it that way, it is provocative. And I don't mean to cause anyone to feel like heaviness when I say living in sin. It's like a marker of reality of, oh, I'm living out of line of my design. And there is a more peaceful, joyful, relaxed, energetic way of living with our relational circuits are on. So that's the hope. But sometimes I like to provoke people to open up their eyes. And that's sometimes something that I do. And you're very thoughtful and kind in your response, which I appreciate about you, Chris.
Well, thank you. Well, John, in the book, I call it staying in your relational sweet spot, you know, so it's our relational sweet spot. And we want to return there as much as humanly possible. This is where we're going to be that good reflection of God's character, right? And just working in us and through us.
Would you say it's God's original intention and design and creation. It's embedded in our creation to live with our relational circuits on in the relational mode.
Yeah. Oh, totally. In relational mode, it's where I can learn that awareness of living with God's presence in my life. And you kind of think about Adam and Eve, something happened where they went from enjoying God's presence, being creative and just participating with God. And then suddenly, something happens. The next thing we know, they're hiding from God, the one that they enjoyed previously. And they're coming up with excuses. So it's like, you can almost see in some ways, my theory would be their relational brain was working beautifully, wonderfully. And then they tried that forbidden fruit and boom, next thing you know, they're hiding, running, and not being a very good version of who God made them to be.
Right. And I hope that people feel the inspiration and the draw to, this is our origin. Yes. This is our original design by God's creation. And so I want us to live that way. And so that's why I love the book, and it is short. What are some practical ways that you have seen been fruitful? Because you've taught thousands of people all over the world, and you've probably gotten feedback of what are some practices that draw people back to a relational way of being?
Yeah, I think one of the easiest and most accessible skills would be just that skill of thinking about, feeling, and sharing the good stuff, which we could call appreciation, right? So simply just thinking about the good stuff. As you think about the good stuff and those special moments or memories where you were building some joy and just having a good time, your brain responds as though you're reliving that moment all over again when you think about it and feel it. Yeah. And so when you share it, it not only helps you get relational, but it helps your friends or your listeners also have an opportunity to get relational, because it reminds them of the good stuff in their lives. So there's a lot of different options I suggest in the book that could help, but I think that one's just such a go-to accessible, you know, opportunity for us.
100%. That's something that Sung Shim and I practice, but we have our clients, whether they know Christ or not, just experience those appreciation memories, and it warms up the brain to being in that state. And it, as a therapist, it creates the conditions for healing from small painful memories to big traumatic ones. And that's very proactive and preventative to have a place to return to. So I love that way too.
You know, just making a habit out of that. You get so much out of that practice, and it's free. You don't spend a penny doing it. It's, you know, it's accessible.
Yes. Yes.
I had a friend do it.
And I had a friend recently, she had some time, and I encouraged her to write down 10 and kind of expand a little bit more. And how do you feel in your body and all those elements that you've taught us? And she did it. And then she had a surgery, and she was, you know, anxious, but she remembered those memories right before the surgery, and it really helped her experience the peace of Christ. Ooh, and so I was just to echo, it is easy. The effort is just spending some time pausing and slowing down enough to remember and cultivate that.
You know, and that honestly has changed my interactions with God. You know, something I'll regularly do in my prayer times or my journaling. Mm-hmm. It's something as a parent, we do regularly with our kids. Jen and I practice this. I mean, it's a go-to skill. It becomes a habit, and it really recharges your relational battery when you practice that skill.
That's good. Any, you know, I'm thinking about, is there, how much of the brain science you, I see, I know you, what is it? You echo it, or you point to it, you give credit to it, but is there anything about the brain that would be interesting for some of those people who want to know, like, oh, is it, what really is going on with the brain? Is there an actual brain circuit?
So your relational circuit is actually, it's located on the right side of your brain. And there's actually four, it's like a car engine where there's separate parts, but they work together. Mm-hmm. So you have four actual structures on the right side of your brain. They are very much like that engine. And ideally, when you're feeling joyful, peaceful, and you're relational, they're working together as just humming along like your automobile. Mm-hmm. It's basically when something happens that causes this brain, you know, more of like your survival circuit takes over in like the snap of a finger.
Yep.
Then that engine no longer works together. And the more more primitive areas of the brain basically take over, which from a brain perspective, you know, if I'm running from like a lion, I don't need in that moment some of those higher cortical brain regions, just because I'm trying to get away from something that's trying to eat me.
Yes.
But I don't want to be there long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's just, we're talking seconds. We don't want to stay there very long because we want to get creative and purposeful and goal directed with some of those higher regions. And so really that's that right hemisphere has that engine. And I talk a little bit about in the book, like what each level does. And we can all pretty much relate to those moments. Like if I'm in a conflict with my wife and my relational engine no longer works together, my brain just goes into self-preservation. And I just want to, I either shut down relationally or kind of push her away or try to win an interaction. It doesn't end well, John. I mean, those moments, you know, it just isn't going.
Chris, if you're right, you got to point it out to other people that I'm right and you're wrong, right?
That's right. See? That's it.
That's how it feels, right?
And yeah, it is. Totally.
That's so you're totally saying, how it feels. You're saying even though you wrote the book, sometimes you operate and you continue with your relational circuits off on occasion. Oh, yeah. That happens to you.
Totally. And in fact, when I was writing the book, there was a lot kind of going on in my life and I had a 2-month window to write this book and a lot of things just went wrong. It was so hard. And it was interesting trying to be creative and write a book about staying relational when I have to stay relational in order to be creative. So that's where the exercises honestly came out of is, okay, what will help me get back into relational mode so that I can have peace in the midst of the pressure that or the dread that I'm feeling. So it does, you know, my brain easily goes into non-relational mode, and I just purposefully have to work to get back into relational mode. And the good news is when you practice these exercises, your brain, you start knowing when you're, you know, when the lights are going off, right? When you're starting to go into non-relational mode. So thankfully I can recognize it most of the time pretty well.
But you still miss it. So do I.
Yes, definitely.
And we're both married to people who also teach alongside of us. And so we teach people about how to have better relationships, and still this happens to us, which comes our stories. Totally. And do you think, how good is it to tell your wife or your partner that their relational circuits are off?
Oh man. I mean, that's in my experience, kicking a hornet's nest, it's just not going to go well, you know? And I've tried that route, John. I've tried it before.
So what do you do? No. And this is where, you know, like I'm learning and growing, and both Sungshim and I, they're off at different times and on at different times. Yeah. What can a couple do? So we'll talk to the person listening. Okay, I get it. I'm learning to put, okay, they're off. I want to turn them back on, but my partners are obviously off. What does a person do at that moment?
Yeah, good question. This is the million-dollar question, John. So what I tell people to do in the book is just basically keep your oxygen mask on. Like if there's turbulence, your job is to put the mask on you first. So what I want to do is stay relational. If I can keep my relational circuits on, then in most cases, the outcomes are going to be much better. So I'll help my wife feel seen, heard, and understood. So I might say, okay, I think we might need a breather for a moment. What would help right now? Do you need some time or some space?
Yeah.
You know, I can kind of say we're in this together what would be helpful. As long as I'm keeping my relational circuit on, if my relational circuit goes down, then in that moment, I'm probably going to want to win or be right or have the last word. And that just doesn't go well.
No, I can relate. So sometimes it's good to what you just modeled is a high capacity level. And I am there sometimes, and sometimes I'm not there. And so I love it though. It's good to know, like to see and hear a real model of what's possible for us humans. This is possible. I'm experiencing that more and more, but also I've had many months and years of not being there. So I want to give people the hope of you can earn this capacity to get there, but it does take work and a bunch of failures.
It does.
Right?
It does. Yeah. And honestly, you know, one of the keys in the failures is getting really good at repairing. That's something I talk about as well in the book. Like just, you're going to mess it up. You're going to say and do things you wish you could hit the backspace on and redo.
Yeah.
That's where just get good at repairing. I frequently have to say, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't handle that well. I'm sorry with the kids. You know, I didn't help them feel seen and understood in that interaction.
That's the secret, Chris, because we're all going to mess up, fail, totally blow it. Even though we know we have knowledge of what makes a difference, we're going to still blow it. But if you are willing to repair and acknowledge your part, it's life-changing. That's the secret sauce.
It is. It is, honestly. That is where character change happens, joy grows, peace is present. I mean, we want to get really good at repairing. And that does restore joy to those moments where, you know, joy was absent in some way.
And that, you know, the first Facebook post I put this year was remaining relational, or being in a relational mode is the way our characters can be transformed.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know if it's your words or Jim Wilder's words or my words. I really don't know. You know, but it's like I've learned those terms from you guys, but I was inspired by you, and that's really true. If you really want your character to be transformed, it has to be in the relational mode, sphere, way of being. And that's how our character can be transformed, which is I really want to be more loving and kind and thoughtful and peaceful. And I want to invite people into that. And I think this book will play a tremendous role in being a blessing and a tool and a resource, and it'll help start people. So thank you for writing it, Chris.
Thank you, John. And I just share, you said that so well, and I share that. And I really hope that people will read it and practice the exercises and just see this as possible. And failure is not the end of the story. You are going to do it wrong, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We repair, and we eventually do improve. And that's a hopeful message for all of us.
Yes, yes. And I think when you learn about learning theory, failure is just learning. It really is. You cannot learn without quote unquote failure. In any sports, is easy to see. Relationship stuff, it's harder to see, but it's true. So it's not failure in the end. It's really just the learning process.
It is. So, and we can learn to be tender with our own weaknesses,
yes,
as well as, you know, those in other people. Just get really good at being tender.
Yeah. I love that. I really do love that. What does tenderness look like? Okay, so I'm married and I'm a parent, but I want to think of also like friendships too, for people who are not married or don't have kids. You can give one of those examples. Yeah. What does tenderness look like?
Yeah, so one of the ways of looking at it, we often hear the word giving people grace, giving ourselves grace. It's that kind of mindset, which means, you know, part of it is I see myself and others as God sees them. And so when God looks at me, what does he see? Well, he sees someone that messes up and has malfunctions and failures, and yet he loves me. Mm. You know what I mean? And he still values relationship with me in spite of myself. So just being tender with weaknesses can be very simply, you know, learning to be a good listener, to attune with people. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, I can see why you'd feel that way. I would feel that way too. And not trying to like even try to fix.
Yeah.
But just joining one another in their own struggles and sharing it, and in a sense, carrying each other's burdens.
Yeah.
Can be very liberating for us as well as others. Just very practical.
I want to explore that even more, maybe this year. What is the texture of tenderness to people? Good. And I think we can only be tender if we're in a relational mode.
Totally.
Right? I mean,
I think you're right.
If I'm focused on getting a task done, like let's say editing this podcast and posting it, and kids come in and keep interrupting me, I may not be tender.
Yeah, you know? I totally get that.
So and I really love that being tender to ourselves and to others around us. That is how people feel safe and connected and communities built. And I think ideally you would have a small number of people around you in a circle. In your circle of relationships is ideal, but I know like we can also build it online. I've seen it happen.
Yes.
If that is not available, having a group of people practicing this, having same language, that's how we can develop it. And that's how we grow as human beings in relationship. And in that set of, it doesn't have to be a lot. I'm thinking 3, 4, 5, like sets of relationships where we're a little community learning and practicing things. And so that's my blessing, that anybody who sincerely wants to can do that. And before we go to the things coming up for you, I just want to say, like, I love this little bookmark I'm holding up, and there's two sides to it. And it's like things that help me return to a relational mode. And when I'm in a relational mode, I do it. This is great. Excellent addition. It's simple, sweet, short.
Nice. Good. Thank you. And you know what? That was actually Jen's idea. Give her credit. She had the idea of like, you know what we need is just a very simple little bookmark that just has some reminders on there. And when people order the books from us, from our website, they'll get those in the book. So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Jen, you know, for thinking of this. And yeah. And then I love it. And it's like, here, I feel like interacting. I look people in the eye. I notice how my body feels. All the things are there, and it's, you could almost just order the bookmark, but you get it with the book.
Yeah, that's right.
So I want to like kind of wrap up and say like, okay, so the book is coming out January 5th, 2021. If it's way past that time, you can still get it. And you have a great website where there are other resources, but this one too. And what's your website?
Yeah, it's just thrivetoday.org. So thrivetoday.org. And there's a page with the Joy Switch, and you can find bonus resources. There's an assessment on that webpage, John, and there's just some of the appendices that I couldn't keep in the book because there just wasn't space. So I'm making those available as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it's just some helpful additional information that I couldn't keep in the book. So,
and what is coming up for you? I know there's two things, right? What's the first one coming up?
Yeah, so January 13th, we're doing a one-hour webinar, just free webinar, just to talk about the Joy Switch, just to help people kind of learn the lens, kind of like what we're doing today, and just talk about how to keep this practical. We're going to do that on the webinar. And then January 30th is more of like an event. It's a three-hour event. That will have, of course, some fun, good teaching, but practice as well with some exercises.
Awesome. And that will be a paid event, but I think it will be completely worth it. If you have skin in the game, you learn more, you set aside that amount of time, 3 hours. So I think it'll be awesome. And will that be available afterwards?
It will. Okay. Yeah, it will. So people, if they can't make the day, totally understandable, they can access it at a later time.
Awesome. Chris, it is, I'm learning to make these shorter. You know, it's like, I want to just keep talking to you forever. Yeah. You could talk for like an hour easily. So, but please send my love and blessings to Jen and the kids. And I want to just ask you to just give a blessing.
Yeah.
And if you want to integrate the things from that you've learned writing and putting these thoughts into the book, could you bless the people who are listening?
Yeah, thank you, John. I just want to bless all of our friends, all our listeners, that, you know what, may you just sense God's delight in you. May you sense his joy, his glad to be with you joy. And may that joy find a place in you, as well as be able to come out of you when you're having interactions with other people. And joy's counterpart is peace. So I just pray that you'll also enjoy the peace that comes with his joy. And that this new year would be filled with joy and peace across the board for you.
Amen, Chris. May more people experience this because of your participation in God's goodness. So
thank you, my friend.
Blessings to everyone. Take care.
Well, I had a lot of fun talking with Chris on the podcast about his book and how we can be a blessing to others. And Sungchim and I are here, and we love Jen and Chris. And Sungchim, what are some parting words you want to give to everyone listening today?
I think one of the really key concepts that change our marriage, as well as enhancing my transformational journey, was this concept that Chris wrote in this book, Joy Switch. Originally, I learned as a relational circuit, and now Chris did a wonderful job in a very succinct, in a simple way that those who wanted to learn about this invisible reality, how to read this relational state that you are in or not. So I definitely recommend that. Chris has this amazing gift of explaining things in a very simple and concise way. So I want people to be able to get benefit from his labor.
Thanks, hon.
Okay.
And Jen, we know, and Chris already referenced in the podcast, he couldn't have done this without you and in the book, and we know the season that you wrote the book. So Jen and Chris, we love you, and we think everyone should, if you read the book, I think it'll just open your eyes to see how you can remain relational and stay connected to yourself and to God and to others. So God bless you. We love you.
We love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.